Well, good morning. Good to see you all here this morning. This is the annual event, as you know, the kids program. I don't know how many years been doing this, but it is an event, and it's a little bit. If you're honest, you know you come in one sense to see the antics, don't you? You'd be kind of disappointed if all the kids came up here and just stood there perfectly and sang, right? We've never had any antics here, so no, it's sort of like going to a stock car race. You know, you're kind of looking for the accident. Anyway, all right. Know why you're here. Anyway, before we bring the kids up, I wanted to share just briefly a few thoughts about this season, about what we're celebrating here. We've been going through a series here at Cedar Creek called Who is God? And we've talked about God as my Father, God is my creator, God is my master, my teacher, my lover. All these things, these relational words that God describes himself as. And so today, we're going to talk about God is my baby born in Bethlehem. God is my baby born in Bethlehem. And so for just a few minutes, we're going to look at a couple of verses and think about what the reality was all those years ago. And I'm going to start off, I'm going to just read a verse in John 1:14. And it's talking about God was from the beginning, and it's referring to him as the Word. And it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And became flesh, it means that God took on flesh. And that word flesh means flesh. It means the soft stuff that covers up your bones. God took on a body. He took on flesh and bones and appeared there, came on what we celebrate as Christmas. And that word, he took on flesh and he dwelt among us. And that word dwelt means he lived among us, but it can be interpreted, it can be translated as he pitched his tent with us. I like that. It says God pitched his tent among us. He came and he dwelt among us. He came, and why did he do that? He came to experience all that we experience. He came to be a man. He took on flesh, a body like yours and mine, to be like us in many ways, physically. He was very different from us in other ways, but he came to take on a human body. He took on flesh and bones, and he pitched his tent. He lived like we live. He got tired. He lived like us. And God became a baby. Even as I say that, it makes me kind of almost cringe, like, what in the world? God, the one who made all that we see, became a child, an infant, a little person. And he could have appeared as a 30-year-old, pretty well put together, knowledgeable, capable, all of that. He could have just popped onto the scene and started his ministry, but he didn't. He didn't. He came and experienced life from the beginning, like you and I all did and have and are. And he was indistinguishable from other babies. He would have fit right into our nursery. Imagine that. Because oftentimes you see pictures of this event, this stable scene, and the baby is glowing. There's light emanating from the baby. I have to tell you, Jesus didn't glow. I mean, I think that's an important thing to remember. Jesus was indistinguishable. He was a baby just like you and I. He would have fit in our nursery. He didn't glow. He didn't have a halo either. He was a baby. And I know that for certain Because we're going to talk in a minute about the shepherds. And if Jesus was glowing, it would have been a lot easier for the angels to tell the shepherds how to find him. They wouldn't have to look. They'd just go find the stable with the light coming out of it. The glowing baby, but he didn't. He was a baby, indistinguishable from other babies. He was physical. He was real. He didn't come speaking in full sentences. He needed to be fed. He needed to be changed. He needed to learn to walk and talk and all those things like you and I. Imagine that. God became a baby. It's incomprehensible. That's what we celebrate. In Colossians, it says that the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in Jesus. And imagine that, the fullness of God, all the completeness of God dwelling, inhabiting that child, that person. So it's hard to understand. It's a mystery. But that's what the Word of God tells us. So God came as a baby, flesh and bones. Second thing I want to talk about is he was expected and welcomed for all that he was going to be and do. In Luke 2, that's the portion of the Bible that describes in most detail this event. And I was thinking about this. I know that this book was written by a man, because Luke didn't tell us how long the labor was or how much the baby weighed. I'm just saying, okay. But in Luke 2, he was expected. In Luke 2:10, it says the angels, these shepherds, were out in the field, and Jesus was born in a rather obscure place, and his birth was announced to a fairly obscure group, these shepherds out in the field. And what the angels told them was, it says, an angel appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Then they said where they could find him. These shepherds were not surprised. They were surprised, but the angels didn't need to explain to them the Messiah. The Messiah, the Jewish people had been waiting for centuries for this Messiah, a Savior, the one that was going to come from God and bring salvation. They were expecting, they were waiting, hoping. And so when the angels told them that, they didn't have to explain. They said, "The Messiah, the Lord, is born. Go find him." And they went, and they found him. He was expected and welcomed. And there's two others that people that are mentioned, among others, in Luke that welcomed and were expecting this baby. One of them was Simeon, and that's recorded in Luke 2 as well. And so Mary and Joseph took Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated, and there was a man named Simeon who had been promised by God that he wouldn't die until he saw the Messiah, that he saw the salvation of Israel. I love this. He said, when Simeon held the baby, he says, "Sovereign Lord, as you've promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." He was expected. People were waiting for this to happen. God had prophesied it. It was coming, going to happen. And he was pronounced to be something special. The Magi, the wise men, they were men of the East. I wish there was more detail. Those guys kind of intrigued me. Who were they? Where were they exactly from? Said they were wise men or magi. And they came a distance and they asked. We've heard that the King of the Jews is born. They'd been studying these prophecies and they knew that something was happening. And they saw, and they came a distance and wanted to worship. They brought gifts and wanted to worship this new king. This new king that was just a baby. And you know, babies are wonderful. They're nice to hold and to look at, but frankly, they don't bring a lot to the table. They're not that impressive with what they can do, right? And so these folks that were waiting, they were welcoming him because of what he was going to do, right? Babies are full of potential. Babies are not the... None of us want our babies to stay babies, right? We want them to grow up. And the people that welcomed Jesus welcomed him because he was going to do some wonderful things. He was potential. He had big things ahead. He was the Messiah. He was the one that was going to live a life, a perfect life that none of us could. He was the one that was going to offer himself as a sacrifice on our behalf to bring us to God, to repair the separation that had come between us and God, to rescue us, to reconcile us. That was what he came for. That's what was going to bring great joy. Because he came into a dark world, and the world and the individuals that make it up need the light that Jesus brings to our own darkness, the sacrifice, the salvation he offers. So how do we respond? So what? So Jesus, this baby born in the stable, was God in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us. He pitched his tent among us. So what? I would just encourage us all, as we go through this next few weeks of Christmas celebration, to remember these things and not confine Jesus to that manger, not confine Jesus to that feeding trough, because he's kind of safe. He's kind of contained there. If we just regard Jesus as that baby in the stable, we can kind of just keep him there. He's pretty safe, doesn't affect us. But if we recognize Jesus for who he is and became, he wants to change us. He wants to come into us and change our lives and bring us back to God. So don't forget, remember, God came down. God came down, lived among us, just like us, but he was perfect. And he paid a penalty he didn't have to pay, that we owed, but he paid. In 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "For Christ also suffered once. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God, to bring you safely home to God," it says. He died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. And so that's the joy that we can celebrate today, that child born who contained all the fullness of God came on our behalf. So let's pray just before the kids come up. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the message that's so incredible, so difficult for us to comprehend, that you took on flesh. You took on flesh and bones, and you pitched your tent among us. You came to dwell among us for our benefit, to bring light to this world, to bring light to our lives, to bring us back to you, to bring us safely home. Help us to keep that in mind as we celebrate this event, as we celebrate all that happened and all that we enjoy about the season. I pray that we would not confine you to that feeding trough, but that we would allow you to be our Savior and rescuer. And we thank you. Amen.